Okay, we're going to begin here on the bottom of Mem Ched Amud Bet, about five lines from the bottom. Here we're discussing the case in the Mishnah where Rabbi Shimon comes along and says that the case of three people who only have Dalet Amot each, and the two outer individuals overlap with the middle individual, but never touch each other, is similar, the Ma'adavar Domeh, similar to this case of three Chatzerot. Three courtyards, which are also adjacent, one in the middle, one to the east, one to the west, open into each other, and also open into Rishut HaRavim. So Rabbi Shimon says that the two cases are equivalent, and therefore in the case of the Chatzerot, just like by the case of people who only have Dalet Amot, we say that the middle individual can interact with the individual on the east, and the individual on the west, but the two outer individuals cannot interact, so too is the din by the Chatzerot. The middle chatzer can interact with the eastern chatzer. The middle chatzer can interact with the western chatzer. But the two outer chatzerot cannot interact with each other. So that is the position of Rabbi Shimon mentioned in our Mishnah. The Gemara now is going to address what is the position of the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Shimon with regard to that din of chatzer. So we have a machloket between Rav and Shmuel, exactly how to formulate that machloket. And in addition to that, there is a machloket rishonim as to how to read the Gemara. So what I'll do is I'll read the Gemara first according to Rashi. Rashi himself brings down a couple of interpretations, but clearly favors one interpretation. And afterwards, we'll go back and see the Rabbeinu Tam and the Mari as to how they explain the Gemara. So according to Rashi, the Gemara reads, Am Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Zo Divrei Rabbi Shimon. That case of Chatzer, the three Chatzer wrote in the Mishnah, that is the position of Rabbi Shimon. Aval Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say, Rishut Achat, Misham Meshet, L'shtei Rishiyot, Aval Lo Shtei Rishiyot, Misham Shot, Rishut Achat. Part of the Machloket Arishonim here is exactly what word is found. You can see the Aleph Abach, whether that word should be Mishtam Meshet versus Misham Meshet, and same in the second case, whether it's Mishtam Shot or Misham Shot, which makes a difference in the interpretation. According to Rashi, the position of the Chachamim is that Rabbi Shimon is wrong in his assumption that both the middle Chatzer can interact with the outer two Chatzerot, and the outer two Chatzerot can interact with the middle Chatzer. Because it is true that the outer Chatzerot have permission to utilize that middle Chatzer. But on the other hand, that middle chatzer cannot utilize or go out to the two outer chatzerot. And as Rashi says, Ein bekoach b'emtzait, lishtemesh lo bezu v'lo bezu. The middle chatzer can't have the ability to interact with two areas. Dezo moshchata lekan, vezo moshchata lekan. It's as if it's being pulled in two different directions. Since it wants to be able to utilize that side and the other side, it's as if it's being pulled in two directions, and since it's being pulled in two directions, we say it's no longer a chatzer that's considered to be the equivalent of a shuta yachid. And because of that, you cannot carry from the imtza'it, from the middle one, out to the chitzonot, whereas you will be able to carry from the chitzonot into the imtza'it. So, okay, Amrita Kameh Shmuel. This is Rabbi Huda saying in the name of Rav. Rabbi Yehuda, as we know, earlier on was a Talmud of Rav, and then later on a Talmud of Shmuel. So here, in the first instance, he quoted the position of Rav, that Rabbi Shimon believes that both the middle chatzer can interact with the outer chatzerot, and the outer chatzerot can interact with the middle chatzer, and the Chachamim disagree and say, yes, the outer chatzerot can interact with the middle, but the middle cannot go out to the two outer chatzerot. So when he said this in front of Shmuel, Amarli, Af zo divrei Rabbi Shimon. Even this is the position of Rabbi Shimon. The way that Rashi reads this, he acknowledges the difficulty in this, and is part of the reason that some of the other Rishonim don't agree with Rashi's interpretation, is that Rabbi Shimon, even in the case that the Rabbanan just said, he says that that is his position. But according to the Chachamim, all three of them are Asur. So according to Shmuel's interpretation, Alibid Rashi, Rabbi Shimon now just adopted the position of the Chachamim in Rav. So Rav said before, according to the Chachamim, that the outer Chatzerot can interact with the middle Chatzer, but the middle Chatzer cannot interact with the outer Chatzerot. So that will now become the position of Rabbi Shimon, according to Shmuel, that he believes that it's only in one direction that you have this utility. The outer chatzerot can come and utilize the middle chatzer, but the middle chatzer cannot utilize the eastern or western, the two outer chatzerot. And then the Rabbanan argue on that position of Rabbi Shimon and says, and they say, Shloshtan Asurot, that nobody can interact with anyone else. Not the outer Chatzerot with the middle Chatzerot, not the middle Chatzerot with the outer Chatzerot. No one can interact with each other. Then we have Tanya, Chavate de Rabbi Yehuda, Liba de Shmuel. We have a Breita that supports this position of Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. Amar Rabbi Shimon. What is this similar to? The Shlosh Chatzerot of Ptuchot Zulazu, Uptuchot to Rishut Rabim. The case of the adjacent Chatzerot, two outer ones, one middle one, they all open into each other as well as to the Rishut Rabim. Irvu Shtaim Imaim Tzait. If the two outer ones make an Eruv with the middle one, Zomi Viami Toch Beitav Ochelet, Vizomi Viami Toch Beitav Ochelet. The outer Chatzerot, the eastern and the western Chatzerot can bring from there Chatzer into the middle Chatzer and eat it there. Zuma Chzeret Motra Toch Beita. And then if they have any excess, they can take it back to their house. Zuma Chzeret Motra Toch Beita. And then the one on the western side, if they have excess, they can go back to the house. But the deal from that is only the outer Chatzerot can bring their food into the middle Chatzer and then return it. But the middle Chatzer cannot move its items to the outer Chatzerot. Similar to Rashi just explained Rabbi Shimon in the position of Shmuel, that the outer Chatzerot have the right of utility, a right to utilize the middle Chatzer, whereas the middle Chatzer has no rights to utilize the outer Chatzer. In addition, Ava Chachamim Omrim Shloshtan Asurot. In addition, also, you see that the position of the Chachamim is that it's completely Asur. So it's a Tanya, it's a Breita that supports Shmuel's position, both in his view of Rabbi Shimon and his view of the Chachamim. His view of the Chachamim are completely Oser, and his view of Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shimon only permits the outer Chatzerot to utilize the middle Chatzer, but not vice versa. Ve'azda Shmuel l'tamei. And Shmuel is following his own position. Damar Shmuel. Shmuel says, Chatzer sheben shnei mivaot. If you have a Chatzer that sits between two mivaot, it opens up into two mivaot. Irva im shnehem, if it makes an eruv with both of them, asura im shnehem, then it's problematic for both of them. Lo irva im shnehem, if it's not mi'arev with both of them, oseret al shnehem, then it causes a problem for both of them. So over here we have a chatzer that sits between two mivaot. So it's somewhat akin or equivalent to the case of three chatzerot that are in a row. You have a mavoi to the east, a mavoi to the west, and this chatzer that sits in the middle. So in a case where they make an eruv, then asuraim shneim. The chatzer cannot interact with the two mivaot. But the deal being that the mivaot can interact with the chatzer, or it doesn't cause a problem for those mivaot, which would be the equivalent of Rabbi Shimon's position according to Shmuel. According to Shmuel, the outer chatzerot can interact with the middle chatzer, but the middle chatzer cannot interact with the outer chatzerot. So do over here. When they have an eruv with the two mivaot, this chatzer, then the mivaot are fine, but the chatzer is problematic. Akin to Rabbi Shimon in Shmuel's position. In a case where it didn't make an eruv with either one of them, then when it doesn't make an eruv with either one of them, then both mivaot are problematic. Because the chatzer has rights to walk through the mavoi, and now one of the chatzerot that has rights to walk through the mavoi has not been included in the shituf mivaot, and that makes it asur for anybody to utilize those mivaot, because we left out one of the parties. Now, if this chatzer, with its two exits, one to each mavoi, one to the east, one to the west, was more commonly or more frequently utilized, one of the mivaot, and the other one it used less frequently, zeshrikila bo asur, the one it used more frequently is asur, and the one that is enaregila bo, the one that is less frequent, is mutar. Basically we say, we assign the chatzer to one of the mivaot. So now we have two mivaot, we'll assign it to the mavoi that it uses on a more regular basis. And by doing so, it becomes problematic for that mavoi. But the benefit of that is, the one that it uses less frequently, it won't impact anymore. Because now it hasn't been left out of the shituf mivot on the other side, because we don't consider it to be a party to that mavoi, because it exits from the other side. So if you have one that it's normally using, and one that it's less frequently utilized, then in that case, we'll assign it to one that is more frequent, and free up the mavoi that it doesn't walk through. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Irva im she'ena regila bo. If it made an eruv with the one that it less frequents, hutar regila le'atzmo, then the one that it mostly frequents also will come freed, because the fact that it made an eruv with the other mavui, makes it a party to that mavui and frees up the mavui that it did not make an eruv with. In a case where the rigilah latzmo made an eruv, meaning they had a shituf mivaot in that mavui, and the one that it less frequents, they didn't make an eruv, they didn't make a shituf mivaot, v'yatzma lo irva, and the chatzer itself did not make an eruv, we force it to go out or to utilize or to be considered a party to the one that it less frequents. And in this type of instance, we would give malkot, we'd force them to do it this way because it's what we call chaser. In this case, where the chaser made no eruv, they can't carry anyway, they can't go out and do anything. But because they don't have an eruv, they're therefore oser on the mivaot, on either side. Now, the mavui, where it most frequents, they made a sheet of mivaot excluding this chaser. So now they have what to gain, because if this chaser does not exit there, then their shituf will be intact, and they'll be able to carry there. But if we allow this chaser to exit through there, or to become a party to that mavui, it would ruin their sheet of mivaot. On the other side, the mavui, which they less frequent, has not made an ishtuf mivaot. They can't carry no matter what. So if we assign the chatzer to that mavoi, we don't change their status quo. They couldn't carry before, and assigning the chatzer there will not do anything to the detriment. It won't cause them not to carry. They couldn't carry anyway. But if we do assign the chatzer to the less frequented mavoi, it will free up the mavoi in more frequents, where it exits on a regular basis, because that mavoi has a ishtuf mivaot. So Rabba Baravuna says, we tell this chatzer that you are now a party to the less frequented mavui this Shabbat, because by doing so, you lose nothing, you're still able to exit and go out, but you benefit the other mavui by allowing them to carry, because they have a shituf mivot, excluding that chatzer. If we allow them to exit from the more frequented mavui, that will cause a problem for that shituf mivot, and now nobody will be a carrier at all. So that's what it means, we're kofin amidat sodom, zezen nev zelo chatzer. The mavoi that they normally exit from will benefit by them not exiting there, because they'll be able to keep their shituf mavoot intact, that's the zenene. And chazelo chaser is that chaser, if they just exit, or they're assigned to the less frequented mavoi, they won't lose out, because they couldn't carry before, and that mavoi couldn't carry before, so it's not to the detriment of any of the parties. We say, this chaser, we're going to assign you to that less frequented mavoi, that way everybody remains not able to carry like they were before, but you benefit the mavui in which you could have carried, the mavui that made the shituf mavot benefits from that fact. So this is the way that Rashi reads it. And why is this as the Shmuel Tameh? Why is this Shmuel the Shitato? So Rashi tells us that Shmuel is the Shitato, that halacha kedivrei hamekel be'eruv. That Shmuel believes that the halacha is like the more lenient party in a roof. And that would mean in our instance over here, he would paskin like Rabbi Shimon over the Chachamim. But the case of Shlosh Chatzerot, the Chachamim say all three of their Masurot, whereas Rabbi Shimon believes that the outer ones can interact with the middle one, but the middle one cannot interact with the outer ones. So if Shmuel is the paskin Divrei HaMekel over here, he'll paskin like Rabbi Shimon. And that's what Rashi says is happening. In that first instance, Damar Shmuel Chatzer Ben Shnei Mivot, in the case of the Chatzer that sits between the two Mivot, Irvayim Shnehem. If it makes an eruv with both of them, asuraim shneim, the chatzer cannot exit out into those mivot, because that's the middle one, so it can't go out. But the two mivot themselves are mutarot. They are fine to utilize. And that is shita Rabbi Shimon, that the middle party in this situation has a problem, but the outer parties are fine. And that's Shmuel Tameh, because he's paskening lahakel like divrei Rabbi Shimon. So that is the way that Rashi reads the sugyo. We already noted one of the issues in Rashi's pshat is that avzu divrei Rabbi Shimon, the word af doesn't fit so well according to the way Rashi is explaining the sugya. In addition to that, we never find in the Gemara that Shmuel says halacha kedivrei hamekel be'eruv. We don't have such a statement. Or Gemara has that statement in the Shema of Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says halacha kedivrei hamekel, but not Shmuel. So that also raises an issue for the other Rishonim, as well as the fact that we saw before that Rabbi Shimon raises the issue with the Rabbanan, how come by Chatzerot you argue on me, and by the case of the individuals you do not argue on me? And the way Rashi sets up Rav's position, the question doesn't seem to fit well. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam offers an alternative view of the Gemara, and he actually flips what Rashi says, and then continues a little differently. He says, in the first instance, according to Rav, the position of Rabbi Shimon remains the same according to Rav, which is that it's mutar in both sides. When the two chatzerot, the two outer chatzerot, interact with the middle chatzer, they are now free to interact with each other. The two outer can interact with the middle one, and the middle one can interact with the outer ones. That's Rabbi Shimon Shita, both according to Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. But then when it comes to the Shita at Rabbonon in Rav, the Rabbeinu Tam has it just the opposite. He says that the middle chatzer can interact with the outer chatzerot. Because he says the leka the migzar kule hai. I can't make such a gzeira shitotzi emsaut. So we're not going to be afraid that the middle entity or the middle chatzer here is going to take from the eastern chatzer, move their kelim over to the western chatzer. The middle chatzer is going to utilize its own utensils. That's what's going to be utilized. And when they do that, they're permitted to carry them out to the western side. They're permitted to carry them out to the eastern side. They're not going to cause any interaction between the east and the west. On the other hand, the chitzonot are asurot in the emtsot. The outer chatzerot are not permitted to interact with the middle chatzer, because dilmat lehachlif kelim sheshavtu b'chitzonazu l'chitzonazu. This is the gzeira that the chachamim had, which is that we don't allow the outer chatzerot to interact with the middle chatzer, because there you really have a chashash. If we allow the eastern chatzer to bring their items into the middle chatzer, what stops them from then moving out into the western chatzer? And there is a real fear that they would get exchanged, and that's not permitted according to everyone. And that's why the Chachamim goes there, that the outer chatzerot do not have permission to use it. So here it's just the opposite of Rashi. Rashi said that according to Rabbanan in Rav, that the outer chatzerot are permitted to utilize the middle chatzer, but the middle chatzer is not permitted to use the outer chatzerot. But Rabbeinu Tam says just the opposite, that the middle chatzer can do as it pleases. It can use the eastern one, the western one. There's no chashash there of exchange. Whereas the outer chatzerot cannot utilize the middle chatzer, because there's a real fear of the kelim of the outer chatzerot getting moved from one chatzer to the other. Because generally, the people of the chatzer utilize their own utensils. And by doing so, you may have that interaction or interchange. And that's the problem according to the Rabbeinu Tam. Along comes Shmuel and says, "I'm avzu divrei Rabbi Shimon." This is also the Divrei Rabbi Shimon, meaning Rabbi Shimon again believes that everything is mutar according to Shmuel. Whether it's the outer ones to the middle one, the middle one to the outer ones, according to Shmuel, it's still mutar. But then the Chachamim disagree and say, Shloshtan Asurot. So the two differences between the Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi is, number one, that in both instances, both according to Rav and Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon says both directions are mutar according to the Rabbeinu Tam. Because Rashi said that's true according to Rav, but according to Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon adopted the Rabbanan's position in Rav. And therefore Rabbi Shimon, according to Shmuel, says that the inner one cannot interact with the outer ones, but the outer ones can interact with the middle one. That's one difference. The other difference is Neshita Chachamim according to Rav. Neshita Chachamim according to Rav, Rashi says that the middle one may not interact with the outer ones, but the outer ones can interact with the middle one. And the Rabbeinu Tam says just the opposite, that the middle one is permitted to interact with the outer ones, but the outer chatzerot are not permitted to interact with the middle one. Then we move on in the Gemara of Tanya Kavate de Shmuel. We have a Braita that supports Shmuel. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, how the Braita supports Shmuel is because the conclusion of that Braita is, V'chachamim omrim shloshtan asurot. The Chachamim say that all three of them are asurot. And that is the position of Shmuel and not Rav. Now the first half of that Braita that says that the outer ones can bring their stuff into the middle and then take it out, well, who's that according to? We were medayik before going to Rashi. That means the outer ones can, the middle one cannot. And that worked well according to Shita Rashi. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's just the opposite. Well, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not a problem because Rabbi Shimon says that it's mutar. In to out to in is mutar. The Gamri according to Rabbi Shimon Shita, both according to Rav and Shmuel. And how he'll read that Braita is that the chitzanot are allowed to use the emtsait, v'kol shekein, and certainly the middle one can use the outer ones, because there's more reason to be gozer on the outer ones. So if we're permitting the outer ones to use the middle one, then certainly the middle one can utilize the outer ones. And that'll fit Tanya Kavata de Shmuel. In the first instance, Rabbi Shimon Shita is that they're both mutar, middle to out to middle, and Chachamim Omrim Shloshtan Asurot, like Shmuel. Then what is the meaning of the Gemara of Azda Shmuel Litamei? Why is this Shmuel l'shitato? So the Rabbeinu Tam says something here that's somewhat difficult, and that's what precipitates another shita called the Mari that the Tosfa brings down, which is, Irva Imshtehem, in that first case of Shmuel where you made an Eruv of both of them, Asura Imshtehem. The Chatzer is not permitted to interact with the outer Mivot. Like the Rabbonon, Damrei Shloshtan Asurot, that say that all of them are Asurot. And, wait a minute, all it said was that the middle one is now Asura with the outer ones. So the way Rabbeinu Tam reads that means that the middle ones are Asura with the outer ones, and so too the outer ones are Asurim with the middle one. Even though that doesn't seem to be what Shmuel is saying. When he says that it's Asura in Shnehem, it's only referencing the middle one, and it seems to be the exclusion of the outer ones. But Rabbeinu Tam says, no, not only is the in middle one Asura with the outer ones, but the outer ones are also Asura with the middle one. And that'll be like Shittat Rabbonon. And that is Shmuel Tamei. Shmuel Tamei, the Hupaskins like Rabbi Yehuda Be'eruv, and Rabbi Yehuda Be'eruv has this position like the Chachamim that Shloshtan Arasurot. That is Shmuel Tamei. He paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, he paskins the Chumrah, he paskins like the Rabbonon over here. And that's Shmuel Tamei that we say both, the middle ones Asura, the Chatzer is Asura with the outer ones, and the Mevaot Asurot, with the, or it causes a problem for the Mevaot as well, and that'll be Keshitato, that he passes like Rabbi Yehuda, Keshitat Rabbonon Aliba de Shmuel here. That's the way the Rabbeinu Tam reads the Gemara. On the other hand, the Mari says that that's a very forced reading of Asda Shmuel Tamei, and therefore the Mari has an explanation in the Shita of Shmuel when he's explaining the Mishnah that then allows him to say that it's Shmuel Tamei, which is, he agrees with Rabbeinu Tam that Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shimon, according to Shmuel, believes that it's mutar the gamrei. Both the middle ones can interact with the outer chatzerot, and the outer chatzerot can interact with the middle one. And he agrees, like everyone, like Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, that the Rabbanan say shloshtan asurot. But the Mari explains that shloshtan asurot, according to the Chachamim, are for different reasons. The reason that the outer ones are asurot with the middle one is gzeira shema, that they'll move the kelim from one to the other. Similar to what the Rabbeinu Tam says. That's the reason the outer ones are asurot with the middle one is because we are afraid that they'll interact or exchange those kelim that they bring in, and that's why they're asurot. The middle one is asura with the outer ones for the reason that Rashi gave, which is that zomashoch talakan, zomashoch talakan. It's being drawn in both directions. And so therefore, according to the Chachamim, it's a surah in both cases, both the middle, a surah in both cases, both from the middle to the out, and the out to the middle, but for different reasons, for different gzeirot. And that's what the Gemara means now, that Shmuel bit hamei, Shmuel the shitatot, because Shmuel actually, in these two instances, paskins differently. And then the Mari will read the Tanya Kavate de Shmuel, and again, why is it a bright like Shmuel? The same way the Rabbeinu Tam did, which was that the Chachamim Rim Shloshtan Asurot, which is clearly Shitat Shmuel. And then why were they brought down Divrei Rabbi Shimon, which, again, is not really relevant. And number two, does not necessarily wait to Rabbi Shimon's position. Rabbi Shimon over here says that both ways are mutar. From that bright that we brought, it sounds like it's only one way. That he says is simply an introduction to the subsequent question that Rabbi Shimon poses to the Chachamim, which is, how do you differentiate between Chatzerot in the case of Tchumin, where the people only have four amot, and they have that same setup. So he sees that only that Shita of Rabbi Shimon only as a stepping stone to the next part of the Beraita, or the next part of the Mishnah. But he agrees that the Shloshtan Asurot is what proves that they have a Beraita according to Shmuel. Then, why is it V'az the Shmuel Tamei? But Shmuel the Shita Tau, that number one, he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda Ba'iruf. But Rav Shmuel also paskins like Rabbi Shimon the Gabe, another din that we've seen before, later on in the Masechta, we'll bump into Shmuel in this context, which is that Rabbi Shimon believes Echad Karpefiot, Echad Gagot, and Echad Chatzerot are all considered to be Rishut Echad. And even if they make no Eruv between them, you can move between them. We don't worry about this, we call it exchange of Kelim, or moving from one to the other where it'll be problematic. And therefore, Shmuel's Shita is Chatzer V'Shevein Shnei Mevaot, that a case where the chatzer sits between the two mavot, im ravayim shnehem, asuraim shnehem, makes an eruv with both of them, it's asura in with both of them. That is because the emtsait, the middle one, is pulled in both directions. And that's what he says, halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda be'eruv. Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda and eruv, that we do worry about this problem of being pulled in both directions. And that's why the middle one now is asura to interact with the outer ones. But He does not say that the Mevaot are problematic, that the outer ones are problematic, because there he paskins like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that all these areas are considered to be one, and we don't worry about this problem of the Mavoi moving to the Chatzer, and then the Mavoi moving to the other Mavoi, and them having a problem between the two Mevaot, because Rabbi Shimon believes that even if there's no Eruv between them, you can move between these, areas, because they're all considered to be Rishut Achat. And that is Shmuel Atameh. Shmuel Atameh is that he passes both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Not our Rabbi Shimon here, but Rabbi Shimon in another context. Rabbi Shimon that says that all these areas are considered to be one entity, and since they're one entity, the fact that the Chatzir has an Eruv with both Mevot will not cause a problem for the outer Mevot. But on the other hand, he does pass from like Rabbi Yehuda that when you have a single area that is being pulled in two directions, that is problematic, and that's why the middle or the chatzer between the two mavot will be problematic. And that's what it means, Shmuel l'tameh. Okay, now the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Ha-makpid al eruvo, ein eruvo eruv. If a person's makpid on his eruv, the way that they made the eruv was that they all donated bread towards the eruv and they kept it together in one person's house. If this individual gave his bread into the Eruv, is now makpid, if someone else eats it, then it doesn't work in his Eruv. Because mashmo, Eruv shmo. Because the name or the word that's used to describe this is an Eruv. And if this person is makpid on the Eruv, it's no longer an Eruv. Because it's supposed to be a shutafut, it's supposed to be a partnership that is nochava reva, that is pleasant and nice, where one is not makpid on the other. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Eruvo, Eruv, his Eruv is a good Eruv. El Shinikra Manche Vardina. It's just like a person from this place, Vardina, who were miserly individuals, who are Tzarei Ayin, and they're not generous with their items. It works, but it's still not the right way to behave. Amar Yehuda Mashmo, we have another statement from Yehuda Mashmo, El Choleka de Eruvo in Eruv. If you split your Eruv up, it's not an Eruv. Kiman, who does this sound like? We had this in yesterday's daf. Kiman Kibet Shammai. The Tanya, Chamisha Shigabu at Eruvan, and then five people put their Eruv together, Vinatnua Bishnei Kelim, and they put it into two separate utensils. Bishamai Omrim means Eruv. That's not considered to be an Eruv. Bishamai Omrim is Eruv. Bishamai says it's not a problem, that is Eruv. So it sounds like that is like Shita Beit Shammai. It says, no, afilu tema Beit Hillel. This can even be according to Beit Hillel. Adgan lokamri Beit Hillel atam ela demalya lamano viyater. When do Beit Hillel allow you to put it into two kelim? That's when you filled one entirely and it's overflowing. It's running over, so you put it into a second kelim. Over there, Beit Hillel says that's not a problem. But, avahecha de palge miflag, but here where you intentionally split it up front, lo. Then in that case, it will not be good. So now what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says is that Eruv functions to create this fictitious unity between all the parties. That as if they all live together or they have some sort of joint partnership. So they pull their bread, they each put bread into the Eruv and they pull it together. Now the word Eruv can function in two ways. Eruv can be from the word Arev. Arev means something pleasant, something that is enjoyable. And that is one interpretation. The other, Eruv, the word Eruv means that it's mixed together. Eruvia. Now the truth is that they both have, they're nuanced and they have overlap in their meaning. That something that is completely mixed together is okay and pleasant with each other. But Mu'urav ben Abriot is an expression. Someone who is amongst the people, mixed amongst the people means he's an amiable, amicable type of person. So here, Amar Yehuda Shmuel takes both interpretations and says, if it doesn't fit both of those interpretations, it's not an Eruv. If it's not a rave, it's not pleasant. I mean, this person is miserly, he doesn't want other people to eat his Eruv. That fails as an Eruv. The other way it fails as an Eruv is it has to be Be'erbuv, you have to be mixed together. If you put it into two kelim, you split it up and you don't keep it together, then it's not Be'erbuv, it's not mixed together. So Amar Yehuda Shmuel says that if you don't fulfill the meaning of Eruv in both those instances, it's not a good Eruv. And the Gemara says, "V'tarti lamali." Why do I need both statements of Yehuda Mishmol? Tiyash minan auto mishum dekapit. Because I would have thought if you only told me about the case where he doesn't want anybody else to eat it because of his hakpadah, that's the problem. V'hacha, but there's no hakpadah. They just happen to put it in two kelim. Imalo, it wouldn't be a problem. V'ishmanyan hacha. Over here, if you only told me about the case where he puts in two kelim, mishum depalge miflog, because you split it up and it's not mi'urav. Avahatam imalo. Over there, it's all mixed together. Even though he's makpid, it's at least mixed together. We'd say that it's not a problem, Shricha. Therefore, I need both statements of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel. Amalei Rabbi Avala Rabbi Yehuda, Bebe Me'artzta, Debe Rav Zakai. So he said it to him in the Beima Artsda, the pressing room or pressing area, which I assume was doubling in the off season as the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Zakkai. Me, Amar Shmuel. Did Shmuel really say, Achaleka de Ruvo, Eino Eruv? If you split your Eruv up, it's not a good Eruv. Amar Shmuel, Bait Shemnichim Bo Eruv, Eino Tzarich Liten Et Apat. The house in which they store the Eruv. Remember again, the way that the Eruv works is, you have a chatzer, a courtyard with houses around it. And now we want to make them into a single group. So we basically say is that they all bring their Eruv to one house, they put it together there, and it's as if they're all part of that one house, and there's only one house in the chatzer. So Shmuel says that when all the parties bring their bread to mix into the Eruv, all the houses have to bring it except for the house in which the Eruv is kept. They don't have to put their bread in there. My taima. What's the reason that they don't have to put in bread? La mishum damar. Isn't it because they say, keivan demanach besalak man demanach ochotami? Because we say, basically, that the party in which the Eruv is kept, they have bread in their basket that's there too. And we'll just assume that that bread is as if it's placed for the Eruv. So Achanami, in this case too, when you split it into two kelim, came into manach besalak, came into manach ochadami. Just because it's in another utensil doesn't mean that it's not placed here. So the assumption in the question that Rabbi Abba is asking is that the reason that the house in which the Eruv is stored does not have to contribute to the Eruv is because they have bread in their house already. And their bread sitting in another basket, but between the two of them, now we have, everybody have bread in this house. So what you see from that is, according to Rabbi Abba, is that you don't have to have all the bread together in one keli. You have the Baal HaBayit's bread in his own basket, and the remainder of the individual's bread in the other basket, and it works. So why don't we say the same thing here? When you split the Eruv into two kelim, it should be fine. It's in one house, even though it's in two kelim, it should be totally fine. And then Rabbi Yehuda responds to Rabbi Abba and says, Hotam, afo pi shein pat. He says, no, that's not the case. Not the reason why the house in which the Eruv is stored is included automatically. It's not because it's as if he has bread there because of his food of his house. Even if he has no pot, he's included. My time to kuhu achidari. Because everyone lives there. The whole point of the Eruv is to make it as if, or a fictitious joining of these individuals. How is that? We all live in the same house. Well, everybody else lives in the house because they brought their bread there. How about the people who, in which the Eruv is found? They live there because they really do live there. And that's why you don't need to put in an additional pot. It's not because if they have pot there. They don't need pot at all. The fact that they live in the house, it already makes it what you're trying to accomplish with the other individuals, to have them all live in this house. So Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, Eruv Mishum Kinyan. The way that Eruv works is through a transactional nature, that there's a Kinyan. V'in tomar mipnei ma in kinyan bima'a. So if the case is that it is a transactional thing, why don't you do it with money? So it says, bivnei she'ena mitzuya b'arvei shabbatot. Because money is not available on an Erev Shabbat. Where it's not clear as to why there's no money available on Erev Shabbat. Whether it's because the expenditures for Shabbat utilize all the money that's there, or because in the preparations for Shabbat, a person puts their money away. They don't have it out and available for them because they're getting ready for Shabbat and they have to store it. They put it away. And it's not readily available. So they wanted to use something that was readily available. Lechem, challah. And that's what they use for the Eruv. But it's working or functioning like a kinyan. But they're actually making a acquisition. Okay, so you're saying that the Chachamim said that the reason they made it with bread and not money is because money is not readily available. But what happens if you do use money? Shouldn't it work? So it says, no. Zera shem yomru ma'a ikar. V'zimna lo shkiach ma'a v'lo atel eruvei bepat. The problem is, if we let you use money, then in the future people will think that the real way to make the Eruv is through the money, which is true, because it is a kinyan. But then they will forget that you have the ability to make it with bread. And then there'll be one time, which the Gemara thinks is very often, there won't be money around to make the Eruv, because the ma'ot are not found on Erev Shabbat. And then they won't make an Eruv, because they'll think that you need money to make an Eruv and not do it with challah. So I mean, where it goes there, that, or metakein, that Eruv only works with bread, even though it's functioning like a kinyan, it only works with bread and not with money, to maintain the understanding that bread can work, and utilize something that's readily available on Erev Shabbat. Now, when we say that it works, meet shum kinyan, kinyan means that they've now all gained, through a partnership, ownership in this house. So by placing their bread into this house, they all gain an ownership in the house, plus the owner himself already lives there, he has ownership. By doing this, they become joint owners of this single house. As joint owners of this single house, they now have a partnership that utilizes the chatzer. They become like one entity because of this partnership. That's what it means that Eruv is Mishum Kinyan. On the other hand, Rabba disagrees with Shmuel and says Eruv Mishum Dira. Eruv functions because it becomes like your living space. Living space, which is that as if everyone lives in this one house. Because a person follows his bread where his food is. So the person who lives in the house obviously lives there already. The others who place their bread into their house, it's, again, fictitiously, it creates it as if they live in that house. It says that everyone lives in that one house. If everyone lives in one house, then the chatzer belongs to that one house. And again, it's as if there's only one party to the chatzer, and that's why we allow you to carry there. So the machlok between Shmuel and Rabbah is how the Eruv functions. Does it function because of Kinyan, it's a transactional Eruv? Or does it function Mishum Dira, because it's as if you live in that area? Someone wants to know, Ma Benayu. What's the nafka mina between them? Ika Benayu, there is a difference between them. Kli, Upachot Mishave Pruta, V'Katan. There are three things here that is the difference between them. Just note that Rabbeinu Chananel thinks there are only two differences between them. We'll get to that in 1 second. So Kli, a utensil. Can you use an utensil in order to make an Eruv? So according to Mishum Kinyan, then you can use a Kinyan Sudar. You can use a Kinyan Sudar, use a Keli, because it's a Kinyan that needs to be done here. The other one who says it's Mishum Dira, a Kli doesn't help you over here. Dira is food, and you have to have the food items there. Kli will not work. Now, Pachol Mishave Pruta, if it's less than a Shave Pruta for Kinyan, that won't work. You need at least a Shave Pruta in order to have a Kinyan. That is Shave Pruta, there's no Kinyan. On the other hand, if it's Mishum Dira, then if a person has the bread that they put there, even though it's worth less than Shave Pruta, still his food is there, and that works Mishum Dira. And Katan, according to Rashi, the way to read this is that a Katan cannot be a Shliach to make a Kinyan. He's not in the world of Kinyanim, so he can't be a part or be a Shliach to do the Eruv. Whereas if it's Mishum Dira, it's simply placing the food in the other house, so Katan can do that because there's no transactional item that would require a Bar Dat over here. So that would be the three differences or nafkaminot between them. The way Rabbeinu Chananel reads it is actually Kli Pachot Mishave Pruta. The first case is a Kli that is worth less than a Shave Pruta. And then there's the second case of Katan. He doesn't see the first two as being separate, but rather as one. And he eliminates the Vav before Pachot Mishave Pruta. But both Rashi and Tosafot read it as three different items. Tosafot does ask, according to the one who says that it's Mishum Kinyan, the threshold for Kinyan is Shave Pruta. How come throughout the Masechta we know that an Eruv requires Shtei Seudot, requires bread for Shtei Seudot? Where did that come from? If all you need is above a Shave Pruta. So Tosavot explains that even though it's Mishum Kinyan, since you're not doing it like a formal Kinyan with items like money or a Kinyan Sudar, but rather you're placing the bread there, then not only does it have to be Shave Pruta, but also has to be something that is Chashuv. Chashuv for Achila that gives it a status in order to generate the Kinyan over here. So not only do you have the threshold of Shave Pruta, but even above that, you have to have Shtei Seudot, which is the threshold to make it something Chashuv to be considered for Kinyan, since this is not the normal way to make a Kinyan. He also argues on Rashi's understanding of Katan. Rashi understood that Katan meant that the Katanan cannot act function as a Shliach in order to put the Eruv there, Mishum Kinyan, but he can't function Mishum Dira. But the Rabbeinu Tam says that he thinks it's like the Rabbeinu Chananel, that the Babayit Shel Katan, we're not talking about the Katan being the intermediary, but rather, a Katan owns a house in this Chatzer. So if the Katan owns a house in this Chatzer, if it's Mishum Kinyan, you have a problem here. Because the Katan doesn't function in the world of Kinyanim. And therefore you can't make an Eruv, because he can't be a part of the Kinyan that makes the Eruv. If it's Mishum Dira, then a Katan does have a din of Dira, and there he can join into the Eruv, because he's able to make a Dira, place his bread there and be a part of the Dira, whereas Mishum Kinyan, he couldn't do it. So that's the mafkamina between them, which is a Katan who owns a bite in a Chatzer, according to the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabbeinu Chananel. Okay, now, the Gemara continues, Amalei Abai L'Rabbo, Abaye, who's the Talmud of Rabbo, says to his Rebbe Rabbo, I have a problem with your shita that it's Mishum Dira, and I have a problem with Shmuel's shita that it's Mishum Kinyan. Because Hatanya, we have a brayta, Chamishashu Gavu et Eruvan, five people in a courtyard, they put their Eruv together. Shem Olichim et Eruvan l'makom acher, if they want to now take their Eruv from here and join with another chatzer or with a mavoy, then Echan Mochlich l'kulam. Then one person moves it on behalf of all the others, or Yedei Kulan. Moves it before all of them. So Abaye's question to Rabbah on both Rabbah and Shmuel is, this one individual now can go and interact with the other chatzer. So now what are you going to say? That, who? Niu de Gagani betugo? He's the one who's making the kinyan. He's the one that makes the kinyan when he goes. He himself goes to the other chatzer. He makes a kinyan. Nobody else has to make a kinyan. What happened to all the other parties here? Who knew the gadayer? He's the only one who's going to live in the other chatzer. What happens to the rest of the parties here? Betulo and no one else? So if it's working because of diur, if it's working because of kinyan, then how come one individual can go over to the other chatzer, place his bread in the other chatzer, and everything is fine? If it's working because of kinyan, it's working because of diur, then every party in this chatzer should have to now contribute to the other chatzer. Why is it that this one individual can take his bread, place it in the other chatzer, and it works? Just because he has a kinyan, just because he has diur there, why does that affect all the other individuals in this chatzer? They should all have to contribute in that way. So he says, back to him, Rabbi says, back to him, Malay, lo didikasha, lo dishmuel kasha. That is not a problem, not for me and not for Shmuel. Kashlichu tukulu gavid. It's very simple. The person who now has the eruv in his house for this chatzer becomes a proxy for the entire chatzer. So when he takes his bread and places it in a second chatzer, he's doing it on behalf of all the parties in the chatzer. Whether it's mishum diur or whether it's mishum kinyan, he's acting as a proxy for everyone else because they all join together in his house. Then when he goes out and does something, he's doing it on behalf of all the parties that are there. And whether it's kinyan or diur, he can act on behalf of all of them. Amar Rabo, Amar Rav Chama, Barbuy, Amar Rav, Halocha ki Rabbi Shimon. The halocha is like Rabbi Shimon in this case of the Shlosha Chatzerot, that Hu Mutaret Imahen, Behem Mutarim Imah. According to Rashi, that means that the halocha is like Rabbi Shimon according to Rav. Rabbi Shimon according to Rav, who says that the middle Chatzer is Mutaret with the outer Chatzerot, and the outer Chatzerot are Mutarot with the inner Chatzer. And according to the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ma'ari, that means both according to Rabbi Shimon, according to Shmuel and Rav, that's the Shita Rabbi Shimon. But the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, the Kula, that we allow all the parties to interact in that case, except for the two outer Chatzerot, because halacha ki Rabbi Shimon. Okay, next Mishnah. Misha Baba Derech, V'chashka lo. He was on his way home, and all of a sudden it was getting dark, and he wasn't in a place yet where it would allow him to get back to his house. He was too far away. He's a little under 4,000 amot away from his house, and he couldn't walk anymore. He knows a tree or a fence that is about 2,000 amot away from where he is. V'amar shvitati tachtav. He says, I want to have my shvita under that area. Lo amar klum. He said nothing. It doesn't work. Shvitati bi'ikaro. On the other hand, if he says that I have my shvita at the base of this tree, then it does work. Because maleich mimekom raglav ad ikaro, alpayim amai, can go from where he is now, 2,000 amot, to the base of the tree. Umikaro ad beito alpayim amai, and then another 2,000 amot from the base of the tree to his house. So basically, he made his shvita over by the base of the tree, not where he is now. Nimsa maleich mehashichar bat alafim amai. So you can walk about 4,000 amot from the time it's dark. There is a number of issues here, which the Gemara will address. Number one is, why in the first case did it not work when he says, I have shvita under the tree? And why does it work when he says, I have shvita at the base of the tree? That we'll discuss in the Gemara. The additional question that one can ask here is, when we say, v'lo amar klum, that he didn't do anything, he didn't accomplish anything, what does that mean, v'lo amar klum? Does that mean he has shvita in his original place? Does that mean he has no shvita whatsoever? And that's something that we need to discuss in the Gemara. If he doesn't know anything far away, oh, he doesn't know this halacha. He says that my shvita is right here. Then that's his shvita, wherever he is right now. And he can go 2,000 amot in every direction. Tosafot points out over here that he really doesn't have to say anything. If he just stays in place, that's enough to have him be kone shvita. The Mishnah happens to mention that he also says it, but that's not necessity or necessary in order for them shvita over here. Agulot, meaning that he has a radius that extends from where his shvita is, 2,000 amot. Divrei Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Chanina ben Antigonus believes that your tchumim, or your tchumim, are determined by a circle whose radius is 2,000 amot. Tchumim amrim mirubaot kitavla. It's actually a squared out. You have a circle which is inscribed inside of a square. The circle has a radius of 2,000 amot, but then you put a square circumscribed around this circle. And that will give you the area of the klum, because kadeshia niska the zaviot, you gain the corners. The corners are your benefit, because they extend more than the 2,000 amot, because they will be the hypotenuse of the triangle that extends that area. So yes, to the direct sides, it'll be 2,000 amot, but to the corners of the square, you will have a little more than 2,000 amot. Mzohi she'amro, this is something that we saw before, the Gemara quoted before this part of the Mishnah. This is what he meant, ani marei biraglav. Then he must physically be there in order to make an eruv. Rabbi Meir, Ein anu ela ani. Only ani can use his feet. But a Rashir must use bread in order to make his Erev Tukumim. Yudomer, Echad ani ve'echad Ashir, doesn't matter whether he's poor or rich. The ability to use pot is a benefit to the one who's rich, that he doesn't personally have to go out there. He can send an Eruv out. But that doesn't mean that he can't do it himself. He can't physically make an Eruv by being there. It's just a kula that he doesn't have to go out there himself. But not that it precludes him from doing this. The way Rabbi Meir reads it, is that Ani has one way to do it, that is, he physically goes there. The Ashir has to do it through a pot. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, anybody can use pot, and anybody can use their regalim. The pot is just a kula, so that you personally don't have to go out, you can send it out with someone else. But not that it's precluded from using it. So now Gemara says, my lo amar klum. When he's standing far away and he says, I want my Shvitah to be under that tree or by that fence, it doesn't work. It says, lo amar klum, he didn't do anything. So it's a machlokas. Amar av, lo amar klum, kol ikar. That he has nothing. It doesn't work at all. Dafilu taktav shalilan, lo matzi ozil. He can't even go to the tree over there. He loses any eruv tchumin whatsoever. He's stuck now. He attempted to make his eruv somewhere else. So he was mafkia his right to have an eruv where he is present. And so now he has nothing where he is. And plus, it didn't work. And the place that he's going to, it didn't work as well, which the Gemara in tomorrow's daf will explain what is the sheet of Rav, why they did not work in the other area. But now he has a shvita nowhere. The person has shvita nowhere, then gets dalet amot, and that's it. So that's what Rav says. He's stuck in his place, so you can only go 4 amot from where he is. Doesn't work to get him home. He can go to the tree itself. And underneath of the tree becomes this place where he is pulled in both directions. We've seen this expression in the Gemara before. The person is driving the donkey and pulling the camel, and now he's pulled in both directions, in that he has a tension between the different areas. Now Shmuel, again, the Gemara will discuss what is the Shita of Shmuel, but for understanding this Gemara, we'll assume the Shita of Shmuel is that when he says he has Shvita under the Ilan, it doesn't work. I mean, it doesn't work because we don't know where he has Shvita. The whole extent of the Ilan, all where the branches go, the entire span of the tree, then could possibly be his Eruv. And since any area under there could possibly be his Eruv, now he's in a difficult position. He's now in what we call a Chamar Gamal. Because if he wants to go to the northern direction, we're going to say that his Shvita was on the southernmost part of the tree. And now if he wants to go to the southern side, we're going to say his Shvita was on the northernmost side of the tree. So basically what he ends up losing from his 4,000 Amot is the width of the tree. And that's what the Gemara says now. Balim dod min atzafon. If he wants to go to the northern side, modin lo min adarom. You measure from the southern side of the tree. Balim dod min adarom. If you want to measure, if you go to the southern side, modin lo min atzafon. Then you measure from the northern side of the tree. So basically, he has the equivalent of the 4,000 amot. When it works, and he says, my shvita is the base of the tree, then he can walk from where he is, 2,000 amot, to the base of the tree. From the base of the tree, another 2,000 amot, which will get him home. In the case where he didn't do that, and he just said, I have my Shvita under the tree, according to Shmuel, that means we just don't know where. He has a Shvita under the tree, we just don't know where under the tree. And that means whatever direction he's going in, we're going to subtract the width of the tree. So now, from where he is now, he may walk to the tree only if the tree, the farther side of the tree from where he is now, is within 2,000 amot. Then he can walk to the tree. And again, from the tree to his home, he can only walk there if the side that is farther away from his house is within 2,000 amot from his house. Because the width of the tree will now be subtracted from his 4,000 amot that he has in each direction, 2,000 each direction, because our assumption again is Chamar Gamal, he's pulled in both directions. That means that whichever direction you're going in, we're going to assume that the other side, the farther side of the tree is your Eruv. And so you'll lose the width of the tree. But if you go in the other direction, we're not going to say, oh, that's your Eruv. We're going to say that the other side of the tree is your Eruv. So you lose the width of the tree. So in a case where the tree is about 30 amot wide, you'll get 4,000 amot minus 30, meaning that you can walk 2,000 amot in each direction minus 30. 1,970 amot in each direction. That's the way Rashi explains it. That's the way Tosafot favors it. Rashi does bring another interpretation, but he rejects, and as well as Tosafot rejects, about Chamar Gamal, that you actually have Shvita on both bases. You have a Shvita where you are now, and a Shvita where the Ilan is, and therefore you can only walk between the two in the overlapping area between them. It's very difficult to read into Lashon HaGemara, and for other reasons, we don't say that that is the case here, because he never indicated that he wanted to have Shvita where he is. It doesn't work that way. Why should he have Shvita? He said he wanted Shvita under the Ilan, so why should he gain Shvita in both places? And therefore, the interpretation that both Rashi and Tosfot favor is that we're talking about the tree, and the Chamar Gamal is that you lose the width of the tree because we don't know which side of the tree your Shvita is. Okay, we'll stop over here and continue tomorrow with the explanations of the Shita of Rav and Shmuel.